Hide FM.
Hello to all listeners. I'm your host, Ravi Hernandez, aka Roives. And in this show, Roives and Artists, I speak to mainstream artists, underground artists, and creatives about their latest music releases. Plus, we learn how music through history influences new music and the experimentation of creating different music for the future. Before we get into the music and hear from our guests, I do want to take a minute to acknowledge and honor that it's Black History Month. So much love to all the Black singers, musicians, producers, and music creatives listening. I would also like to celebrate our very own Black artist, Kehlani, who won 2 Grammys earlier this month for Best R&B Song and Best R&B Performance, which we discussed back in December's show. It's been a long time coming, but I'm happy that they are finally getting the recognition they deserve. I've personally seen Kehlani's growth, as I had the opportunity to see them perform before she became famous at the 2011 auditions for America's Got Talent here in San Francisco, singing alongside her band, Pop Life. To witness Kehlani's growth is beautiful, and I've supported them ever since then, calling the phone number to vote for her place, which led to the start of their music career. Again, congrats to Kehlani. But before becoming an R&B artist, Kehlani and her band did lots of pop covers, hence the band name Pop Life. And so Kehlani sang lots of pop songs, which leads to this month's theme, pop music. Tonight's guests make pop music or incorporate pop elements into their music. Our first guest is a young artist that creates soul pop music and has a similar sound to artists such as Alisa Cara and Ray. Her name is Jolene Lozano, artistically known as Jolina. Let's hear her most recent single titled Emotional Damage.
Fake love taking out of the ship, cause you crave control. You hit me like claps, make you push me down and pull the strap. I fold, you set the trap, and you sharpen my woes. When your name pops up.
Baby, you
Jolina, first, thank you for being here with me tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Roy. So fun.
This song, which you released about 4 months ago, is about being in a situation with someone who isn't as honest with you. And ultimately, you've shared that this song is about an ex who didn't believe in you and just caused you emotional damage. But it's also about any relationship that makes you doubt yourself. I love the instrumentals, first of all, which we can hear in most of your songs, the trumpets, the saxophones, the piano, etc. Have you ever experienced emotional damage when it comes to music? By that, I mean an embarrassing moment on stage when performing, a frustrating situation when recording a song, a very hateful comment from a listener that really affected you, or a moment in your music journey where you were very depressed about moving forward in music.
Yeah, there are many times where I've definitely experienced emotional damage from the meme, but I would say one moment that really stands out was before I started actually writing and releasing music. I was posting on TikTok covers of me singing and participating in trends, and then I got a lot of comments that said, "Don't tell her that she can sing because she can't," and that's when I started writing my own music and trying to figure out what music means to me.
Before we dive deeper into your music catalog, let's share to the listeners who you are and your connection with music. You're Filipina-American and originally from New Jersey. You've been singing since you were 3 years old, and you've been playing the piano since you were six. Your top three pop artist inspirations are Ray, Olivia Dean, and Remy Wolf. You have a computer science degree and worked in a tech job for a bit, but eventually chose to pursue a different path, although you currently do have a teaching job. You've been releasing music since April of 2022. And interesting fact, you were shy to release music at first to put yourself out there. But during COVID, while you were still in college, one of your professors really gave you the confidence to release your music and connected you with their son, who produced your first song and has since produced all your songs. They really say that networking is the only way to move, especially in the music industry. This is also a perfect example of asking your college professors questions or taking advantage of those office hours. What advice would you give to someone out there who is shy or not as confident in releasing their music?
Yeah, I really love this question. It made me smile, like, hearing about this. Definitely a big shout out to my producer, Ryan Potts, who has produced all of my records so far, and his incredible dad, Jerry Potts, who was my professor in college, who connected me to my producer. So a lot of my songs have been about caring so much about what people think and being so scared to put my full self out there. One thing that my professor had told me in a situation was, what would you regret more, choosing a path where you're still at where you're today or choosing to take a bet on yourself? And that really stuck to me in a lot of decisions I've made. Especially if you're a new artist who isn't feeling as confident in yourself, what would you regret more? And I think a lot of us would say not taking a chance on ourselves. And so put the music out there. You'll continue to becoming the best version of yourself and who you eventually want to become.
Very, very, very true. Good advice. Let's listen to this first single you released in 2022 that opened the doors for where you are now.
I was all alone, I couldn't let go. This balloon had all my dreams and hopes. Maybe if I let it go, they would touch the sky. Why don't I try it this time? Try it this time. Try it this time. I'm going to the ocean in my dreams. There I'll see the sun. Now woke up to golden skies. I'm feeling free, like I was a kid. No worries, no fears, always. haunt myself all day, and I keep worrying about all of the things that they might say. Then maybe somehow, yeah, all my doubts are free.
That song is called Balloon. You sing about your dreams and hopes being inside this balloon, reaching the sky and learning to let go of any fears and making those dreams come true. This is also your most streamed song, which makes it clear that from the beginning, people are and enjoy listening. You've clearly made many of those dreams become a reality, although I'm sure there are still many to be fulfilled. You've been able to perform at music events, festivals, collaborate with other artists, and also attend Grammy Week in 2024. Speaking of the Grammys, when it comes to pop, Olivia Dean won Best New Artist, Lola Young won Best Pop Performance for the song Messy, Lady Gaga won Best Pop Album for Mayhem, as well as Best Dance Pop for Abracadabra. Would you agree with these wins or disappointed by any of these?
There's so many talented people who on this roster, and I'm very happy. You know what? I love Olivia Dean, and it's really cool to see how much she has blown up since I first discovered her when she released Hardest Part. She always got me in my feels, and I'm just proud of her. She deserves everything and all of the success she's getting.
Let's listen to the second song you've released. Also back in 2022, this one is titled Cave If I'm All Alone.
Yeah. so much time has passed since I was torn apart. Found that love's only fiction, so it still beats me down. So I can't show you how I feel about you. So I'm sorry that I pushed you so far, but I trusted that they left me with scars. Oh, if I'm all alone, I won't ever get up on that way. I'ma keep my distance so I don't get hurt again.
This one is a more slow ballet song, yet has powerful beats. It's about building this cave of protection and not getting hurt in relationships, and therefore not wanting to trust again or getting close to anyone, because when you did, you ended up getting hurt. I think the best lyrics are, I'ma keep my distance so I won't get hurt again. If I'm all alone, I won't get hurt that way. I know I can relate to this song, where you've already experienced heartbreak, possibly over and over again, and simply prefer to be alone. But being alone isn't a bad thing. If anything, it's probably better. That's when you truly learn about yourself, and it's less stressful and more productive. What are some activities you like to do, or places you like to go to be alone and take a moment for yourself, or even gain inspiration for writing songs?
Yeah, honestly, I read that song a couple years ago, but I really do like being alone. And one of my favorite spots is at the top of Dolores Park, usually during sunset. You can see almost all of the city, and it's close to where I live as well. And then coffee shops are always really lovely, and my room is my safe space too.
But where do you like to go? Is there also the places where you get inspiration to write songs, or is that just mostly from experiences when it happens?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. In Dolores Park, there's always so much fun people watching, and there's something about the sunset and looking at how big everything is that really puts into perspective, like, oh, there's so much world out here, and make me reflect on who I am and other people's lives too.
Nice. Let's hear one last song that you released this past year that has a similar theme as this last song. This track is called Can't Love Me Like You Do. Here we go.
I can't love me like you do. I can't love me like you do. When I can't trust my own reflection for consensus on the truth. Sit with me. Will you and I play therapy? Will you say you hold me and you listen? Look at me, love me through my imperfections without question. I hate that you feel you have to hide. Always heavy on your mind. I can't use your words to fix my inner strife. My God, with walls too high, it's the way I learned to survive. You deserve the best that I'm wrapped in my mind, comparing myself to girls I idealize. They're everything I'll never be, and you could have them, so why would you still stay with me? I hate that you feel you have to hide, always heavy on your mind. I can't use your words to fix my inner strife. Get to my guard with walls too high, it's the way I learned to survive. You deserve the best that could be found, but I can't love me like you do. I can't love me like you do. Even the sweetest sentiments, they always seem to pass right through. I can't love me like you do. I can't love me like you do. And I can't trust my own reflection, for consensus on the truth.
It's a lovely song, and again, the lyrics I can relate to on this one are, kept my guard with walls too high, it's the way I learned to survive. This track is about someone willing to stay with you and wait for you no matter how long it takes for you to finally open up or for you to fully love, and yet being scared of your own reflection or insecurities. You share this song is ultimately about your best friends who love you more than you could love yourself. Now, you released this one last year, but when you wrote this one, it was actually the period of time in that healing journey as the last song we played. Yet you waited almost 3 years later from when you first wrote it to release it. Why was last year finally the time to put it out there?
Yeah, this song went through a lot of different emotions, and it was during a time when I was in relationships when I blamed myself a lot. So if something felt off in those relationships, I assumed I wasn't lovable enough or I wasn't doing enough. And when I needed reassurance and I didn't get it the way I had hoped, I had internalized that myself too. At the time I thought I was writing a love song for my previous partners, but almost like a gift. But each time a relationship ended, and I couldn't really bring myself to release it because it felt so tied to them. But then I realized something very, very important, and it was the phrase in the song that didn't come from my exes, "Can't love me like you do," came from my best friends. And there was one time where I was sitting in a park in my hometown. And I got this lyric because me and my best friend were basically having a therapy session where I was telling her, I just don't feel good enough, that I felt like a failure. And she paused and told me, "Jolene, I really wish that you could see yourself the way that I see you." And that stuck to me so much. And it's when I understood that this song was never about romantic love. Mm. It was about the people who stayed and the friends who loved me when I couldn't fully love myself. So it was finally the right time when I released it, because I wasn't releasing it for a partner anymore. I was releasing it for myself and my friends. And it was from more of a place of growth. And for the people who carried me through that season.
A reminder of always appreciating those friendships, yeah, and those people that love you, not romantically, but platonically.
Exactly.
You're an independent artist, and you've shared that the hardest thing is always posting content in order to get your music heard. It's not an easy process, but I know you will continue to find your audience slowly but surely and continue to gain new listeners. For example, over Super Bowl weekend, you posted a video on TikTok of you singing along with a drummer on the streets of San Francisco of the song It's a Man's World by James Brown, which now has about 1,500 likes and 10,000 views. And it truly is a testament of your confidence and growth in the last almost 4 years, from not wanting to put yourself out there to allowing anyone from around the world to hear your voice and talent. If possible, Jolene, how would you describe the last 4 years when it comes to your music career in one word? And what has been the biggest lesson you've learned?
It might be corny, but the word I thought of was becoming. Mainly because I feel like it was over the past 4 years, it's almost like I went through another version of college, and becoming the version of myself that has now become brave enough to feel seen and stop apologizing for just being who I am as a person. So again, it might sound obvious, but I think the biggest lesson I learned is that I can't outsource my own self-worth from other people and really develop not being afraid to put myself out there and just have fun, not take life too seriously, and just do what I love, because we only have such a short, things happen fast, and so why not live life to the fullest?
Very, very, very true. Lastly, Miley Cyrus, who played Hannah Montana, is set to have a special 20th anniversary on Disney Plus on March 24. This will include an interview with Alex Cooper and most likely a performance where the star plays her hits from the Hannah Montana soundtrack. Now, Hannah Montana had a great pop hits, but for me, my favorite Disney soundtrack was the Cheetah Girls. Can you name your favorite Disney soundtrack?
Oh, there are so many good ones. And it was because I love High School Musical too, but I kind of got to go with Lizzie McGuire. Oh. Yeah, I love Hilary Duff, and I played This Is What Dreams Are Made Of 24/7 when that came out.
Cool, okay. So it brings back a memory too.
It does.
Well, I appreciate we're running out of time. So thanks, Jolene, for taking your time and speaking with me tonight. Make sure to listen to Emotional Damage and the rest of her music catalog on Spotify or Apple Music. Our next guest creates pop rock music and, like Jolene, sings and plays the piano. His name is Connor Morrison. Let's hear the first song.
Tripping on a Monday morning, self-talking how the world seems boring. Hit the park for a little caffeination, hope the bottom holds a little motivation. Cause it don't feel right, although it's fine. You can't see to the brighter side. Open your eyes, forget the lies you falsely idolize. Cause outside the sky is blue, the sun is shining too. There's someone out there who would love to fall in love with you. So before you wreck it, try out a new perspective. There's a million ways to let the light through. You got no excuse, so what you gonna do? That you become so cynical, your negativity's become a little clinical. It may be time for you to take a little breather. You're not thriving, but you're not dead either. Cause it don't feel right, although it's fine. You can't see to the brighter side. Open your eyes, forget the lies you falsely idolize. Cause outside the sky is blue, the sun is shining too. There's someone out there who would love to fall in love with you. So before you
perspective, there's a million ways to let the light through. You got no excuse, so what you gonna? Don't make your objective to lose all self-respect when you hold the cards and make the moves. 'Cause you'll find your salvation if you take a quick vacation from criticizing all you do. You got no excuse, so what you gonna do?
That track is titled What You Gonna Do, your latest single, which you release at the start of this year. Connor, thank you for showing up and joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Let's quickly share to the listeners who you are and what got you into music. You're 32 years old, originally from Cedar Crest, New Mexico. You've been playing the piano since you were a kid and started writing songs in high school. You first released music with a jazz quartet called New Vibe in 2014, and then in 2017 released music in a duo group called The Meanderings.
Meanderings.
Yeah. Since 2021, however, you've been releasing music as a solo act. Your top three pop artist inspirations are Billy Joel, Ben Folds, and Elton John. As someone who has performed in a group or a band setting and also as a solo, what feels different on stage when you perform solo versus as a band or duo? And do you feel more pressure performing alone? And also, do you feel your artistic identity is clearer as a solo performer?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I look at the two differences almost like running and riding a bike. Like being a solo performer, you feel like you're running. So if you stop running, you just stop. And so the only way to get home or whatever is you got to keep running. If you're in a band, it's like you're on a bike. So if you stop pedaling, you coast for a little while before you stop. And so there's a little bit of more freedom and speed to that. And so, yeah, like playing with a band, it's more interesting, I'd say. Like there's, you got guitar player, bass player, drums. There's a lot going on versus solo where you kind of have to do a lot more yourself. That said, as an identity thing, I think as a solo performer, probably defines it the most. I'm a kind of selfish, self-absorbed maniac, and that's when it really can bloom.
Let's hear the next song, this one you titled Streetlights.
Yeah.
Curls on suntan skin and a nose that crinkles up while she's giggling. Brown eyes that can cut through lies like I haven't been staring since you walked inside. But hold now, let's have a conversation. No vows or implications. We can sit down and have a chat, but now you're sitting on my lap and it's too late for turning back. 'Cause it starts with something that feels like nothing. It turns into a loving that saves us. Sparks start to fly underneath the moonlight. If it all caught fire, who blames us? I can't let you go now that I know how it should feel. When love is for real, when
Whispered promises are dangerous words when you're balancing the future for the better or worse. But when your fingers on my shoulders and your cheek to my chest, we've got a tune to get it started. We can improvise the rest, but there's a glow now on the horizon. Gotta go now that the sun is rising. We could go out separate directions, but there ain't no circumventing this unbreakable connection that starts with something that feels like nothing and turns into a loving that saves us. Sparks start to fly underneath the moonlight. If it all caught fire, we blame us. I can't let you go, now that I know how it should feel. Persuaded by desire's lies, it's so frustrating, soothing hearts and minds, as we ask ourselves, can love survive under the street lights?
It's clear you incorporate your instrument, the piano, in all of your music. As you mentioned earlier, of your artist's inspirations, they definitely play a huge role. As a listener can hear that in your music. Lots of other artists like Stevie Wonder, John Legend, Christina Perry, and many more incorporate the piano in most, if not all, of their songs. Although you do play the guitar as well, why the piano? In other words, what is it about the piano that captivated you from a young age? And if and when you do have kids, do you plan on teaching them to play the piano?
Why piano? As I kind of got into music, there was always a piano around, and that was not the easy way to go, but it was what was there. And I think piano is really easy to learn because it's just pushing buttons. Guitar is, you have to have a guitar first, and then it hurts your fingers. So that was a later add. But yeah, since then, it's always been piano, and that was never not an option. So I just stuck with it, and then I got into artists, and that was their deal, and I've stuck with that. But yeah, and if I had kids, I play piano, so they need to learn something else for the family band to come together. Hopefully we get a drummer, and I guess a bass player would be solid, and then... Yeah.
Does your partner play an instrument as well?
She does not. You can plink out a couple of songs on piano, but yeah.
Nice. The next song is my personal favorite. This one is called Don't Worry, Kid.
In the talent show in front of his classmates, thinking to himself, oh, this ain't a shot you can blow. That girl you like is in the front row. That's when nerves kick in, he starts chicken turning red. No sense in stressing, try to impress and messing up instead. Thinking to himself, oh, just remember what your mama said. But don't worry, kid, you're gonna shine. The lightning can strike anywhere, anytime. Stay true to yourself and all that you do, and keep right.
If I can't catch my breath, then I'll run until there's nothing left. Say, don't worry, kid, you're gonna shine. The lightning can strike anywhere, anytime. Stay true to yourself in all that you do, and keep writing those songs. Someday they'll listen to you. And the perfect girl, and I'm gonna play this goddamn world. Say, don't worry, kid, you're gonna shine. The lightning can strike anywhere. Shine, lightning can strike anywhere, anytime. Stay true to yourself in all that you do, and keep writing those songs. Someday they'll listen to you.
In this song, you're essentially speaking to your younger self or past self, but also sharing to the listener what your mom would say to you growing up and supporting you in your music dreams. I love the lyrics, and just remember what your mama said. Don't worry, kid, you're gonna shine. Lightning can strike anywhere, anytime. Stay true to yourself in all that you do. Keep writing the songs. Someday they'll listen to you. And here you are now, and people are listening to you. It's an uplifting song that essentially is a reminder of not giving up, in this case, on your music dreams. If you could, what would you tell your middle school self?
First, I'd say, hi, Mom. I think she's listening. what would I tell my middle school self? I think in life, I always tend to be like a rule follower, play it safe guy, and music, and I'd say like art. That's always been a thing, and it took a long time for me to really feel like I could branch out. Like, I started writing music as parodies. Like, I grew up on Weird Al, and I, you know, would write parodies. And I think that a lot of times you write parodies because you don't want to have your own thing. Like, you're too afraid to have your own thing, so then at least you're, like, you're making fun of somebody else, and that's, like, a safety blanket in songwriting. And it took a long time for me to, like, cross the chasm of, like, parody to just, like, writing my own stuff. And so... as like my younger self, I'd get one, the advice of like, hey, like keep going. But then two, like, you know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there and take some chances. And for God's sake, start a YouTube channel. So anyway, that's my,
I agree with that one. Start a YouTube. One thing I regret is not making YouTube videos earlier.
Yeah, not sooner. Yeah.
Before hearing one last song, let's transition to a short segment I call Current Music Fact, where we discuss a news topic that's currently going on in the music industry. So, Connor, last week, and although not an artist that you probably listen to frequently, but as a millennial, you heard her in your teenage years at school, on the radio, and everywhere. So last week, the pop icon, who is recognized as the princess of pop, Britney Spears, sold the rights to her entire music catalog for about $200 million to a private music publishing and management company called Primary Wave. This means she no longer receives royalties from her music, and therefore Primary Wave now gets all the royalties from her music streams, music purchases, radio play, movies, TV, and licensing opportunities. This move most likely means that Britney is completely done with music. Now, other artists have done this too, Bob Dylan, Stevie Nicks, Bruce Springsteen, to name a few. Again, you're probably not a big Britney fan, but she will forever be a pop icon and known worldwide in the music industry. As Britney was the first new female artist who had a single and an album topping the Billboard at the same time to what we all know as Baby One More Time. She was also the youngest person to receive a star in the recording category of the Hollywood Walk of Fame at just 21 years old in 2003. And she's also the first artist in history to have her first four albums in a row star at the top of the Billboard. From the beginning, it was clear that Britney was meant to be a star. What are your thoughts on this and the whole idea of selling the rights to your music?
Yeah. So I do like Britney Spears. Total guilty pleasure for sure.
Perfect.
We used to do, as the Meanderings, my buddy could do a very cool version of Toxic. And he has a sort of, he has like a very unique kind of like folky style. And so that version of Toxic was like, it was fun to do because it was just very different. So big Britney fan. But in terms of, like selling your music rights and kind of cashing out, I actually kind of respect that in a way. Because I feel like as an artist and as you get to certain points in your career, like we're all small artists. So I mean, if I could, I'd love $200 million. I don't know what to do with it, but lots of jet skis. But I think that there's, you know, this level of a lot of like management that goes along with the art and management and like the, you know, for them, they got a lot of publicity they're dealing with. And it's a lot of work to maintain what sort of already exists. Like, Britney Spears is never going to have a problem convincing people she's Britney Spears or that she's done the things that she's done. And I'd say the same thing for Bruce Springsteen and Bob Dylan. So in a lot of ways, like, they've kind of done what they were going to do. And maybe they want to keep doing little side things here and there, but by and large, they want to do it. But to keep collecting those, I think, is a lot of, like, management pressure, and it's a lot of, it's just a big pain. So if you can have somebody else do that and you cash out, it may make sense. So I don't know. I think it's probably not the worst idea.
Let's get back into your music with one last track. Here we go.
A mess, cleaning up the burning rubble of our recklessness. We were playing by rules that were written by fools. Now it's time for us to flip the script. Cause if all the lies are true, then why am I still looking at you? So baby, baby, come with me. The world's not as twisted as we make it out to be. I've never been a gambling man, afraid of losing every hand. But this time I'm all in, well, I'm all in, well, I'm all in. Sometimes you gotta go with your gut when you're trying to escape from this overtrodden rut. Now I never knew just how much we could do we had the nerve to push our luck. Cause if all the lies are true, then why am I still looking at you? So baby, baby, come with me. The world's not as twisted as we make it out to be. I've never been a gambling man, afraid of losing every hand. But this time I'm all in, well, I'm all in. As we make it out to be, I've never been a gambling man, afraid of losing every hand. But this time, oh, this time, baby, baby, come with me. The world's not as twisted as we make it out to be. I've never been a gambling man, afraid of losing every hand. But this time, I'm all in. Well, I'm all in.
That track is titled All In, which you released in 2024. It's essentially about being all in and committed to a relationship and not willing to lose it for anything. You've clearly been all in when it comes to music. You keep creating regardless of who and who isn't listening. I mean, you've been doing this for so long, and you plan to release more singles this year and play at larger venues. You've already played around 30 gigs and shows a year, so performing is something you're comfortable doing. From back in your band days, you did a small tour. What is touring like? Explain that experience. And who is a dream pop artist you wish to open for one day?
Yeah. I mean, I think touring is very different for a lot of, I mean, it just depends on what you're doing. For us, it was interesting because it was like a trip from the Midwest back to New Mexico. But we played a lot of different kind of types of venues. So in some cases we were playing where we brought everything and had to set everything up. And then other places we were relying on like other venues, equipment, their sound guys, their whatever. And that was a lesson in dealing with adversity, both with your instrument, learning how to play tired, learning how to record tired. We recorded while we were doing that. And it was just a lot of, there's a lot you have to overcome, and just knowing your music is such a like small part of the experience. So we wrote a song. There's a song called North Tour, and it's my buddy wrote it, and it is like a full summary of how that was. But I just feel like it was a huge learning experience. And then, yeah, for opening for somebody, I'm a big fan of Jukebox the Ghost right now. And I feel like as like a smaller artist, they're like a mid-sized artist, so they'd be like perfect. But another piano pop group that I think would be perfect.
What's a pianist you recommend? It doesn't necessarily have to be, a pop artist, but you know, when it comes to just piano, who do you recommend listening
to? Listen to besides the standards that have been the aforementioned standards and Jukebox the Ghost. Another one that I really dig, his name's John McLaughlin, and he's a kind of, you know, like soft pop kind of guy, but he did a lot of great music, and I got to meet him very briefly when he came out and played in Oakland. I had a fanboy moment. So that's my my additional piano player.
And out of curiosity, just to add it in here since we have a quick time, do you plan to watch Michael Jackson's biopic coming out in April, The King of Pop?
So this is very embarrassing, but I didn't know he was going to have one. But now that I do know, yes, definitely. I'm a big fan of all the, like, there was a great Billy Joel one that just came out. There's been like a couple of those. I also listen to a lot of the biographies that are out there. So like Dave Grohl has a great biography out that is awesome. But yeah, so I'm for sure.
Sounds good. Thanks again, Connor Morrison, for taking your time and speaking with me. Listen to What You Gonna Do and the rest of his music catalog on all streaming platforms. Can we, as a listener, expect any songs coming soon?
Yeah. So I got two kind of recorded and sitting on a hard drive. So those will be out very soon. And then I'm getting ready to go back to the studio. So more to come in all aspects.
Cool. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening till the end. I'm Ravi Hernandez. Stay blessed and stay tuned for the show in March, where I speak to underground indie bands. Good night.